Leo Chern helped change the world. Now, his name may not be instantaneously recognizable to the general public, but it was once invoked around the world, from the halls of power to the holds of ships laden with refugees. For 40 years, Leo Chern headed up the International Rescue Committee, which became one of the largest relief agencies in the world for the resettlement of refugees. He also made time, over his life and times, to assail Joseph McCarthy, sculpt Lincoln and Churchill, defend the gangster Lucky Luciano, and argue with the ostensibly saintly Albert Schweitzer. Leo Chern died in 1998. Now Andrew Smith has written the first biography of a man who powerfully influenced the 20th century. It's called Rescuing the World, The Life and Times of Leo Chern. Historian and biographer Andrew Smith joins us from our studios in New York. Mr. Smith, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Scott.
I gather during the 1930s and 1940s, Leo Chern was ubiquitous in American life as a debater, as somebody who appeared on the media of that time, who wrote magazine articles that were well and thoughtfully regarded. What was his position with the American public, if we could recapture it at that time?
Leo was trained as a lawyer, and you're quite right, he did defend Lucky Luciano, and when he lost, he gave up the law. And this is in the middle of the Depression, and he decided to go into business. And unlike many other people, he was extremely successful during the Depression, creating the Research Institute of America. And it was through the Research Institute of America, which rapidly expanded from 2 people to 350 people in a period of about 5 years, that he gained a lot of visibility. Now, simultaneously with that, from 1932 on, he was attacking Adolf Hitler in his own speaking engagements, and that wasn't popular at that time, and it wasn't popular from someone who was of Jewish heritage to do so. And he was condemned by many people for taking that action.
It was his talent as an economic planner that got him involved in World War II, wasn't it?
Yes, here's a person who was not trained in economics, and yet for 50 years he influenced economists. And part of what he did was he was at the Research Institute of America, was engaged in a lot of research working with business, and he began going to Washington and working with people. And one of the things that he began working on was the War Mobilization Plan, which he worked very closely with the Army and with the Navy, and helped guide a plan which was later rejected. But after it was rejected, it became the basis of what happened when America did enter World War II. It was exactly the plan that was followed.
To anybody who was trying to address the issues of economic development following World War II, you had this worldwide conflagration which had killed scores of millions of people and displaced scores of millions of people. And the status of refugees became an urgent economic issue in each and every society that was trying to piece itself together.
Yes, indeed it was. In Germany, obviously, there were millions of people on the move, both trying to get back to their homes and other people trying to leave their homes due to all sorts of political and economic situations existing where they were. And Chern was one of the ones who argued very strongly. After having argued against Hitler and argued against fascism for 10 years, he was among the first people to say Germany needed to be reindustrialized and needed to be whole, and it needed to be a strong central part of a new Europe.
Leo Chern is a member of that small company of human beings who had the nerve to tell off Joe McCarthy to his face.
He was the first one to publicly challenge McCarthy, and he did so because he believed very strongly that McCarthy was one of the greatest assets for the Communist Party in America, simply because he was reckless in his accusations and accusing a lot of people who were not communist. And Leo believed very strongly that there was a communist threat and you needed to deal with it directly rather than by making accusations against people that really were not communists. So,
how did Leo Chern discover he had the talent to be a sculptor?
He was always an artist. He wrote songs in his youth, and one of his songs in 1940 became and was a hit on the hit parade, one of the top 10 musical, which is, I'll never forget. He did some sculpting in his youth.
Now, he'd been told, essentially, that he had to find a hobby that was unrelated to...
Well, this is getting ahead of the story, but in 1954, he visited Diem, who had just become premier in South Vietnam, and after a whirlwind campaign, he returned to the United States, and his doctor thought he'd had a heart attack. attack, and they put him in the hospital for a week. And in the end, the doctor concluded there was no heart attack, and he just really had suffered from exhaustion. Mm-hmm. So the doctor told him, what you need to do is go out and do something unrelated to your work that would give you some relaxation. And so Leo took up sculpture, and this first sculptor was of Albert Schweitzer, who was also one of Leo's heroes. And Leo being Leo, of course, showed off his work, and it was viewed by the curator of the Smithsonian Sculpture Department, and they liked it, and they took it in, and immediately Leo started sending out copies of his Albert Schweitzer to a number of other people, and it became one of the best-selling sculptures in America in the 1950s. His second one was of Abraham Lincoln.
Well, Leo Chern's Lincoln turned into a kind of official gift that American presidents would give.
A number of Americans, from Eisenhower all the way through President Lyndon Johnson, they gave it away to visiting dignitaries. It's a very nice sculpture. I like it.
Did he find it frustrating to try and raise not just the attentions of the general public, but the hearts of people in government to the plight of refugees, particularly as it got on to the 1990s and you had refugees coming from the Balkans, refugees coming from parts of Asia?
A greater problem was in the 1970s. After Vietnam fell, the huge influx of first boat people from Vietnam and then land people from Cambodia and Laos, and no one wanted to pay attention to the plight of the refugees. And so I look at that as one of his finest moments, when he concluded that it was possible to get Americans back on track, get the American government to open up the refugee limits that had been created by Congress to keep people out. And single-handedly, he and a group of about 10 or 15 people were the ones that changed American foreign policy with regard to refugees.
Mr. Smith, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Historian and biographer Andrew Smith, his new book is Rescuing the World, The Life and Times of Leo Chern.